Scripture reading this evening will be from Hebrews chapter 12, beginning verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinklings than that of Abel.
Good evening. Take a moment to get set here. I'm thankful, and it's a privilege to share a few thoughts from God's Word. Makes what young brethren do here when they do the same. It's going to be more of a review. There probably will not be anything that people don't already know. I'd also like to say that since I am mankind, I could err and appreciative if something is inaccurate, that you could approach me and let me know and straighten me out, because it's all about the truth, nothing more, nothing less. So, be a definitive list this evening of the things that I'll be talking about. Tonight I will be speaking about mountains in the Bible. Jesus' ministry often occurred near bodies of water, sea, and we even have an account or accounts of him teaching on boats. We find that worship occurred in the temple. But there are also principal sermons and significant moments that also happened on mountaintops. In those days, and today, I would mention, God and mountains were a way to get close to the heavens. Between the breathtaking views and the important mountains became symbols of being close to God. Even the non-religious find themselves in awe of the experience of modern mountains. Many ancient peoples considered mountains became a place to experience God, and they still are. The events which took place on these mountains all teach valuable lessons and are very, very important to the teachings that we all hold dear. But we'll consider a few. Mount Moriah will be the first. No, you can probably all see the map here. There's the major map here, which actually shows the Mount Moriah. It'll be right here at Jerusalem. Actually, Jerusalem was set on actually four hills, Mount Moriah, which is one. So Mount Moriah, the Mount of Obedience. The land of Moriah was included the hills on which Solomon built his temple in Jerusalem. In 2 Chronicles 3 and 1, now Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared to his father David at the place that, on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. The account of 2 Samuel would say Araunah, but it's this account would David purchased this land from Ornan the Jebusite, who used it as a threshing floor, 1 Chronicles 21 and 15. This is the for David in regards to his sinful census that was taken. He chose to be punished at the hand of God rather than at the hand of men. He selected that punishment, a pestilence and a destroying angel whose hand was stopped at the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And there David purchased this land and built to offer up to God. Mount Moriah is very significant in the trial of Abraham's obedience from Genesis 22, 1 through 13. Now it came to pass after these things that God said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains on which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for burnt offering, and arose and went to the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey, the lad, and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father, and he said, Here I am, my son. The fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. Went together. Excuse me. Then they came to the place which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. The angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here I am. Not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offering instead of his son. So, this test of obedience with Abraham, faith. In Hebrews 11, verses 17 through 19, we read, By faith, Abraham being offered up Isaac, yea, he that had gladly received the promises was offering up his only begotten son, even he to whom it was said, In Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God is able to raise up even from the dead, from whence he did also in a figure receive him back. So we see in verse 17 that Abraham offered up Isaac, even kill him. The demands of this sacrifice were met in the eyes of God and Abraham. Then in verse 18, Abraham knew that all the hopes and promises were centered in Isaac, but Abraham was willing to leave it all up to God. Verse 19, Abraham considered, he reasoned, he calculated that God was able to bring Isaac back. And Abraham was as good as dead. So, the Mount of Obedience was shining evidence of good faith in God. James, verse 21 beginning. Was not Abraham, our father, justified Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? Fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see, then, that a man is justified by works, and not by faith only. Mount Moriah, the Mount of Obedience. Now we'll look at Mount Sinai, which would be located here. The Mount of Power. Mount in the Sinai Peninsula, which is a triangular shaped wedge of land lying between the two gulfs of the Red Sea. It's a vast rocky mass that almost fills the peninsula with an individual peak, which is also called Horeb. We find in Deuteronomy 1 and 6. This is where the Israelites arrived in the third month after leaving Egypt, from Exodus 19 and 1. And there, it's called the Wilderness of Sinai. We also find in 1 Kings 19 and verse 8, in the account, Elijah flees from Jezebel to Horeb. It's also called the Mount of God. So although several mountains have been identified as possibilities, there are really only two serious Jebel Serbal, 6,791 feet in central Sinai, and Jebel Musa, 7,500 feet in the southern Sinai. One of a cluster of three peaks, Jebel Musa has a base where the Israelites may have camped, and it is the traditional and most probable site of Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai was the location of God's giving of the law to the Israelites. And we find that all of the legislation from Exodus 20 to Numbers 10 was enacted on or at the foot of Mount Sinai. So Mount Sinai was a terrifying sight. If we turn to Exodus chapter 19, Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain. The trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke is the furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, God answered him by voice. Then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain. And the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go down and warn the people, lest they break through to gaze at the Lord, and many of them perish. Also, let the priests who come near the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them." But Moses said to the Lord, "Mount Sinai, for you warned us, saying, 'Set bounds around the mountain and consecrate it.' Then the Lord said to him, 'Away, get down, Aaron, with you, but do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break out against them.'" So Moses went down to the people. So Mount Sinai also symbolized darkness and destruction. Turning back over to the New Testament, to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18 beginning. "For ye have not come to the mountain that may be touched, and that burned with fire, and to blackness and darkness, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was said, 'I am exceedingly afraid and trembling.'" So we see during the Old Covenant, it was represented as one who could not be approached freely. Mount Sinai was a mount which had no access to the... In Exodus 19, verses 12 and 13, "And thou shalt set bounds unto the people, take heed to yourselves, that ye go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall... no hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man. He shall not live. When they shall come up to the mount." So this mountain demonstrated God's power to a rebellious and sinful people. Mount Nebo, located here on the east side of the Jordan, the land of Nebo, the Mount of Severity. So Mount Nebo is a peak of the Abarim Mountains across the Jordan from Moab. Its elevation is over 4,000 feet above the Dead Sea. And from this unobstructed vantage point, a magnificent and almost unparalleled view of the entire land of Canaan. Moses, in his life, throughout the bondage to slavery in Egypt, and throughout the Exodus, had rendered great service to God. If we turn back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 beginning. "By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of faith, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for which he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. So, even though he had rendered great service to God, however, there is one great failure or sin that stands out in our minds when we consider, and that's the disobedience or the sin at Kadesh from Numbers chapter 20. Beginning. Then the children of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed. Miriam died there and was buried there. Now there was no water for the congregation, so they gathered together against Moses and Aaron, with Moses, and spoke, saying, "If only we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Why have you brought us up to the wilderness, that we and our animals should die here? And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is not figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink." So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door, and they fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Take the rod, you and your brother Aaron gather the congregation together. Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Pour them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals." So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him, and the assembly together before the rock. And he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock?" His hand struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Then the Lord spoke to Aaron, "Because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into have given them." So after Deuteronomy chapter 34, 1 through 6, on top of Mount Nebo, how God punished Moses. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, that is over against Jericho. And Jehovah showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim, and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah, and the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, unto Zoar. And Jehovah said unto him, "Which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see, but thou shalt not go over thither." So Moses, the servant of Jehovah, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of God, buried him in the valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. So we must never forget the severity of God. Romans chapter 11. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell, severity, but towards you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness, otherwise you also will be cut off. So, severity, God is mean or God is unloving, but simply because of our disobedience. We have every indication considered just in the sight of God, but forgiveness does not always carry with it the alleviation of the consequence. Mount Carmel. It's up here to the northwest of Jerusalem. The Mount of Victory. The Carmel range of mountains is roughly 15 miles long, with its southern boundary in the Bay of Acre near the modern city of Haifa. The foothills flow into the plain of Esdraelon, 1,810 feet, with a promontory thrusting into the Mediterranean Sea, or promontory, Mediterranean Sea, opposite the Sea of Galilee. The mountains collect heavy dew, remaining green throughout the year, unusual for Palestine. The Canaanites actually built shrines to pagan weather deities on Carmel. And therefore, it set site for a confrontation between Elijah and the prophets of Baal. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1 beginning, we read of that encounter with Elijah, the 450 prophets of Baal, and also 400 prophets of the Asherah, which is roughly 850 pagan prophets. And they tried in vain to induce a response. When Elijah prayed to God, God rained down fire and consumed the altar thereby, causing all at the mountain to God. And subsequently, the heathen prophets were slain at Elijah's command. So the incident at Carmel teaches us that numbers are God's will in this world will be victorious, even if most of mankind refuses to follow it. 13 and 14, which we're all familiar with. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. So we cannot allow ourselves to become disheartened by the hardness of men's hearts. Next. Up in the north, this is the Sea of Galilee, way up north here, Mount Hermon. The Mount of Authority. So Mount Hermon is a magnificent mountain rising to a height of 100 and some odd feet. It is snow-clad most of the year and has abundant dew ascending. We read from Psalms 133 and 3, like the dew of Hermon that cometh down upon the mountains of Zion, for there dwelleth even life forevermore. Mount Hermon, which means sacred mountain, also forms the northern boundary of the land that Israel took from the Amorites. It was regarded as sacred by the Canaanites who inhabited the land before the Israelites. Hermon is a major source of the Jordan River, and water from its slope ultimately flows into the Dead Sea. This mountain was almost certainly the scene of our Lord's transfiguration in Matthew chapter 8. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, his brother, into a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his garments became white as light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. And Peter answered and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, I will make thee three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Afraid? And lifting up their eyes, they saw no one save Jesus only. So this episode, to whose authority we must bow. In the 15 of the Transfiguration, they were told, Hear ye him. So we find proof of whose authority is greater in Matthew 28 and 18. Came to them and spake unto them, saying, All authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. So we can pause and note here that God doesn't consider other pagan religions to be of any consequence. He only recognized and the prophets, Elijah. We need to be aware of all the religions which pretend to wear the name of Christ, but do not follow his instructions. Chapter 7, verse 21 beginning, Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name and by demons, and by thy name do many mighty works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye. So if you are associated with one of these religions, then you need to know that these will be from Matthew 15 and 13. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father planted not shall... Mount Olivet. As I said, Jerusalem is centered on roughly four mountains, and several of these mountains in the lesson are here. So the Mount of Olives is east of the city of Jerusalem. It rises to a height of 2,641 feet. A magnificent view of Jerusalem can be seen from the summit. The mountain received its name from the dense olive groves which anciently covered it, only mentioned once in the Old Testament, Zechariah 14:4. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be cleft in the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove towards the north, and half of it towards the south. We're all aware it also played a prominent part in the life of our Lord, particularly the Garden of Gethsemane. And I missed a cue there. So, rejection, pain, and torment of the cross soon to be behind, Jesus would triumph over sin. His mission on earth completed in John chapter 17, verses 1 through 5, he is now ready to return, where he will be glorified with his Father. These things spake Jesus, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, glorify thy Son, that the Son may glorify thee, even as thou givest him authority over all flesh. It's given him, he should give eternal life. And this is eternal life, that they should know thee, the only true God, and him whom end, even Jesus Christ. I glorified thee on earth, having accomplished the work for me to do, and now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And following this, we see that Jesus goes with his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane, to which he customarily resorted, place of Jesus' agony and arrest on the Mount of Olives. Of Olives, Jesus gave his promise to the apostles that the kingdom would come with the Holy Spirit. We find in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 12. With this promise and its subsequent fulfillment, those who wish to live with God now have the opportunity to obtain the eternal purpose of his church, from Ephesians 3, 8 through 13. Now we can live in hope as residents of God's heaven on earth. God's church prepares us for the blessedness and gloriousness of heaven. That is what we truly hope for, from Titus 2 and 13. Looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of the great God, Jesus Christ, from Hebrews chapter 6 and 19, which we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and entering into that which is within the veil. And from 1 Peter 1, 3 and 4, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy begat us again unto a living hope by the resurrection from the dead, and to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, even for you. So we look to go home as Jesus did. Mount Zion, once again, right in the area of Jerusalem, one of those mountains that... The Mount of Blessings. Zion was an ancient fortress situated on the southeast hill of Jerusalem at the junction of the Kidron and the Tyropian valleys. The name came to stand not only for the fortress, but also for the hill on which the fortress stood. After David captured the fortress, the city of David, in 2 Samuel 5 and 7, nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, the city of David. After Solomon built the temple, that ended to include the temple area, eventually Zion was used as a name for Jerusalem, of Judah, and the people of Israel as a whole. After Zion came to figuratively rep, it was carried into the New Testament and attached to God's spiritual kingdom, the church. Mount Zion. It is not a physical mount like Sinai, but rather a spiritual one. From Hebrews, our scripture reading this evening, chapter 12, verses 22 through 24. But ye are coming to Mount Zion, and unto the city, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable hosts of angels, to the general assembly of the general church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to the God, the judge of all, and to God, the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh able. It symbolizes the light and glory of the new covenant. It was prophesied that Jesus would come out of Zion in Romans chapter 9 and verse 33. Even as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and he that believeth on him shall not be put to shame. And then in Romans 11 and 26, and so all Israel shall be, even as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer. He shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. So we should note the glory and triumph associated with this mountain. In Revelation chapter 14, verse, the 144,000 were with the Lamb singing a new song. And this symbolized the secure, victorious spirit of rejoicing enjoyed by the church because the Lord is in their midst. So at the end of the day, after all has been said, the question is, whom do you stand on? Which one will be your stability? Will it be the mount of Christ's authority, the mount of hope, or maybe the mount of severity? If you're here and all you see is the reliability of God's punishment, then we invite you to change that situation. God's simple plea is to confess Jesus as the Son of God and to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. We would make that appeal to ascend that spiritual mountain and be numbered among God's children. Won't you come forward as we stand and sing?